This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, Alhamdulillah, Wassalatu Wassalamu ala Rasulullah. Let's continue with Sirah, the biography of Rasulullah. Today's lesson is going to focus on the Prophet's birth. Number one. And number two. We're going to look at the many names of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That is it. As for the Prophet's birth, we concluded last lesson by discussing the story of Fil and how Allah azza wa jalla destroyed them with the birds. Did you end up seeing? Did I show you the birds? Yeah, you should watch that. That's right. Yes, the homework question. Who has an answer? Allah destroyed the Christians, although they're closer to Islam. Whereas the Mushrikun, He left them and they are further away from Islam. How would you answer?
Destroy the Christians and not the pagans.
And the pagans are further away from Islam. They're worshipping idols. So how would you answer? Number one, Allah Azza wa Jal is so just that He will destroy a nation that is unjust, even if it's a Muslim nation, as per the hadith. And Allah will leave a people if they are just, even if they are a disbelieving nation. These people, the Christians, they were unjust. They came to destroy other people's properties, other people's land, heritage, and ancestry. Therefore, Allah Azza wa Jal, because He took retribution, because these people were going to transgress the rights of the creation. A person can abuse the Creator. Allah Azza wa Jal may or not forgive. He may let that go. But when the rights of the creation are transgressed, Allah Azza wa Jalla does not tolerate that. Yeah. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Ittaqu da'wat al-mazlum wa in kana kafiran." Fear the du'a of the oppressed, even if they are kuffar.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Don't even oppress a non-Muslim. He said, "Fear that du'a that they make against you." He said, "There's no hijab between that da'wah and Allah. It goes straight to Allah Azza wa Jalla."
Oh,
the da'wah of the oppressed, yeah. These people were oppressed by Christians. In other words, if a Muslim oppresses a kafir and that kafir makes dua, yes.
So if you steal money off a kafir and that kafir makes dua against you,
if it's taken without right.
Without correct. Right, yeah.
Correct. Okay, so you should fear that. He said, اتَّقُوا دَعْوَةَ الْمَظْلُومُ وَإِنْ كَانَ كَافِرًا. So don't oppress. Because if you remember, we took one of the ahadith, Allah Azza wa Jal said, إِنِّي حَرَّمْتُ الظُّلْمَ عَلَى نَفْسِي. Allah said He's made oppression haram on Himself. So if He's made a haram on Himself, imagine when people oppress each other. Allah doesn't tolerate that. Yes, sister?
Is there another reason why? Maybe because He had
changed or... Yes, there are other reasons. Good. Of course, they came to destroy the house of Allah. And another reason was, I wrote it down actually, pride and kibr took over Abraha. And Allah Azza wa Jalla despises that greatly. Whereas the mushrikun of Quraysh did not have that pride and kibr. Pride, boastfulness and kibr, Allah despises that so much that He destroyed Abraha and his army because of that. So pride and kibr is something which Allah despises greatly. It was the first sin Allah Azza wa Jal was disobeyed with. Shaitan. Allah Azza wa Jal hates it. Therefore, He loves its opposite so much. What is it?
Humble
and humility. That's why the closest you can get to Allah is which position?
Sujood.
Because you're humble. You're placing the top part of the body to the lowest part of the ground for Allah. You're placing it in the sand, the dirt, the mud, just for Allah. Allah loves that. So the Prophet said, the closest you can be to Allah is when you are in prostration. So humble yourself before Allah and He will raise you. Okay, let's go into the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. His birth, he was born in the year of the elephant, as we know. His father was named?
Abdullah.
Good. His mother was named?
Amina
bint? Good. So if you do have the sealed nectar, where it goes into birth and childhood, that's where we are taking from the book, exactly. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the master of the prophets, as per your note in the sealed nectar, it says was born in Bani Hashim Lane in Mecca on a Monday. He was born on a Monday, and that's why he used to fast Mondays. Therefore, when people want to have Mawlid al-Nabi, party hardy all night long with music and dancing and singing, they say, we're doing this because the Prophet was born on a Monday. Well, what did he do because of his birth on a Monday? He used to fast. He used to fast on a Monday. And did he fast once a year? No, it was every week, every Monday. So these people want to have dancing and singing once a year on Mawlid al-Nabi night. Well, he didn't do it once a year. He did it every week. He fasted every Monday. But to them, of course, doesn't go with their whims and desires. They want to party and sing and dance. So you can't talk to such people when it comes to evidence, unfortunately, sometimes. So he was born on a Monday in the year of the elephant. And his father was Abdullah, and he died before his birth. In other words, he was born as an orphan, subhanAllah, a yatim. Over and over in the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal mentions the importance of looking after the aitam, the orphans, the yatama, the orphans, over and over again. Because the orphan is fragile, vulnerable. People can take advantage of the orphan, push them around, take their money. Who's going to stick up for you, huh? Allah Azza wa Jal took it upon himself to defend the orphan. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ Have you seen the one who denies the Day of Judgment? This person is so bad they deny the Day of Judgment. That's the first crime. But what are their characteristics? فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ They push the orphan around. Oh, get out of here, little brat. Take his money and take his inheritance. No one's going to help. SubhanAllah. So Allah took it upon himself to defend the orphan. Notice Allah Azza wa Jal said yatim, orphan, not yatama and aitam, orphans. What's the difference? Singular and plural. You may ask, and here in this ayah, why did Allah mention yatim, one orphan? Allah is teaching us that if we are not concerned about one orphan, then there's a problem. In other words, this person is so bad, forget about their concern of the masses. They're not even concerned about orphans in plural. They're not even concerned about one orphan. That's how bad they are. So if we're not even concerned about one orphan, there's a big problem. And that's the lesson there. Allah mentioned that in singular and not plural. Allahu Akbar.
So is that just in Islam, obviously, no father?
Yes, it's to do with no father, not the mother. Mm-hmm. So when they haven't reached the age of maturity and they don't have a father, they're an orphan. They're an orphan. So he was born as an orphan, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But never despair. Never despair. Because although he had no father, look what he became. He became the father of the orphans of the world. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He became the orphan that inherited the dunya. He had the world at his feet. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. A lot of people, they always worry, this person has no father, we're extremely worried. But the person you should be really worried about is the person who has no Rabb, no God, not no Ab, no father. That's truly the most worrying. You know, usually when a person has a father, you're not worried about him. But what about when a person has Allah? How can you worry about them? Of course, they're not even in need of your worry anymore. And his mother died, Amina bint Wahab, when he was only 6 years old. Allahu Akbar. That's the age we send our kids to primary school. That's the age we send them to kindergarten. And that's very hard. And so she died when the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was six. And his father died near Medina. Yeah, in your notes it'll say near Yathrib. And Yathrib is another name for Al-Medina. It was known as that. And one day, Amina decided to go and visit her husband's grave. So she took her son, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, her servant, Ummu Ayman, and her father-in-law, Abdul Muttalib. They all went on this journey over 500 kilometers, and she died on the way back. So she went to see her, to give her respects to her husband's grave, and subhanAllah, she died. That was the qadr of Allah. And then he was taken under his grandfather's care. Who was his grandfather? Abdul Muttalib. So after them, after his parents, of course, there was Abdul Muttalib. He would look after him until he reached 8 years of age. Yeah, so Abdul Muttalib was his grandfather. Yes, good. Because as we said, Amina went with her father-in-law. Ahsanti. So when he was 8 years of age, Abdul Muttalib also kicked the bucket. SubhanAllah. Everyone's dying left, right and center. So who's going to take over now? Good. When he was 8 years old, now his grandfather died. So who took over? Abu Talib. Good. Abu Talib. Abu Talib, his uncle. So from 8 years onwards. 8 years onwards. And he looked after him for how many years? The next 40 years. For the next 40 years, Abu Talib would be his supporter financially, emotionally. He was everything. He would support him so much. So he died when the Prophet was 48, approximately. And the year he died was the year that, who else died? Khadija, his beloved wife. And that was extremely hard on Rasulullah. Yeah, it was called, anyone know? Am? Yeah, good. Am al-Huzn, the year of sorrow, year of grief, year of sadness. Am al-Huzn, the year of sadness, because he had his beloved wife supporting him for so many years, and that's very important. Sometimes the brothers act all macho and they say, oh, I don't need you, and I'll do fine without you. It's just all talk, it's all haki, trust me. Tell her you love your wife. You know, don't just always, you know, act all macho. Rasulullah would say it, would tell his wife, I love you. And once Amr ibn al-As, when he became a Muslim late. Now, little did he know of the great character Rasulullah had. Therefore, whenever Rasulullah would speak to him and speak in a gathering, he'd always look towards Amr ibn al-As. So Amr ibn al-As thought, I'm so special. Rasulullah's always looking at me. But little did he know that Rasulullah was like that with everyone. So Amr ibn al-As wanted to show everyone, look, I'm the most. Rasulullah loves me the most. I'm his favorite. Watch this, guys. Go, hey, boys, check this out. Ya Rasulullah, who do you love the most? Watch. He goes, Aisha. Oh, shocked. Aisha. He goes, okay, not from the women. Okay, he's going to say me now. From the men, Ya Rasulullah. I didn't mean from the women. He goes, Abuha, her father. You know what's amazing? I'm not sure what's more amazing, the first response or the second. The first response was linked to Aisha. The second response was linked to Aisha. He could have said Abu Bakr, but he said her father. So he linked the first answer to the second answer. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, so he linked the second answer to the first. Allahu Akbar. Which man will do that today? Very few. Illa man rahim Allah. I'm dead by the boys tonight for sure. They're all going to call me up and say, what did you tell my wife? They'll start abusing me over the phone. But I'm sure your husbands are great, mashallah. The beautiful brothers, wallahi. Beautiful brothers. Yalla, alhamdulillah. Let's go on to mention the Prophet's names. So that's the Prophet's birth. By the way, there's an authentic hadith where he said, I'm a product of true marriage, all the way from his ancestors, Adam. He was never a product of?
Zina.
None of his ancestors had children via zina. None of them. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a product of true birth, marriage up until all the way Adam alayhi salam. Alhamdulillah. As for our lineage and our background, Allahu alam, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was protected. He was protected. So let's go into the Prophet's names. Rasulullah had many names. And many names indicate what? Who can remember? Good. Yeah. Highness, loftiness, honor. If I were to say to you, for example, Sister Amina is a teacher and a designer and an engineer and a doctor and a nurse and a dentist, and I went on and on and on and on. Say tabarakallah, that's very impressive. And a mother, that's really the best role, wallahi. If you recall, did I mention the four roles of the four greatest women? Yeah. Mother, caretaker, wife, daughter. So those really are the roles of role model women in our ummah. So he had many names. Of course, the most common we know is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And it doesn't just mean the praised one. It means the one who is good. Well done, sister. Continuously praised. In Arabic, the shadda indicates that. The shadda looks like that in Arabic. It indicates continuous. And many people, when you ask them, what does that mean? They'll say, praised by the people. But is it limited to that? No. What does it mean? Good. He's praised by the angels, Allah, inhabitants of the heavens, and the earth. Both. Another name he has, which is Ahmed, that's right. And Ahmed and Muhammad both came from the word hamd in Arabic. And hamd means? Praise, yeah. Shukr is more thanks. So hamd in Arabic is praise. So Ahmed is the one who is more praised. That's a higher level of praise. He's also called Al-Mustafa. What does that mean? Yeah, good. Istafa in Arabic is to choose, to select. In other words, he's the chosen one. There are very three common names that we know. Now we're going to get into names that are uncommon, not many people know. Does anyone know of them? Okay, Taha and Yasin and names like that, they're actually not names in Islam. They're actually from al-huruf al-muqatta'a from the Quran. Individual cut up letters. Would you name your child Alif Lam Mim?
No.
Likewise, Taha. They are letters, Taha. If you have named your kid Taha and Yasin, leave it. Yeah, leave it. Leave it. No problem. Don't now give me a headache and start going changing names. And oh, Muhammad al-Bizri said you have to change your name. No, leave it. Taha and Yasin. Khalas, it's known. The custom of the people, they're known as name. Taha and Yasin. No problem. But if now you know, then in the future, you don't name your child Taha and Yasin. But this is an issue of difference of opinion. Some scholars said they are names. Some scholars said no. It seems most correct they are not. Allahu A'lam. Like Alif Lam Mim. You wouldn't name your son Alif Lam Mim. You wouldn't name your son Hamim. Or Kaf Ain Sod. Okay? Yeah. So you wouldn't name your children those letters. What's another name of Rasulullah? What is it? Okay, good. Abu al-Qasim. Good. Abu al-Qasim. Now, are you allowed to name your children Qasim?
I've heard no.
There is a hadith that says no.
Yeah, I've heard no.
But you'll say, what about you, Akhi Muhammad? My child's name is Qasim. You weren't allowed during the time of the Prophet ﷺ to name your child Qasim. But after his death, yes, you're allowed. Now you're allowed. So I'm Abu al-Qasim. Sorry? There's a difference of opinion as well. And I lean towards the opinion no as well. Better not to. Like Jibreel and Mikael. Better not to. But there's room for difference of opinion among the scholars. Another name of Rasulullah. Okay, now these are now uncommon names. He told us he's named Al-Hashir. What's Yawm Al-Hashr? Good. The day of gathering. It's called Judgment Day. It's called Yawm Al-Hashr because the day of gathering. So he's the gatherer. Meaning, yes, on Judgment Day, mankind will gather to the Prophet Muhammad. In other words, on that day, people will gather towards him. And he'll be the only one to ask Allah to begin the intercession. And that'll be a very scary day. Imagine all the people rushing to the prophets, they're saying, Nafsi, Nafsi. I'm just worried about myself here. Please, I've got my own problems to worry about. Go to someone else. Nafsi, Nafsi.
The only one that we can go to.
Yeah, only Muhammad. He'll say, Ana laha, Ana laha. I'm for this, this is for me, this is my job, I'll do it. He goes to the throne of Allah and he prostrates. For so long. And Rasulullah is said, he told us, sorry, that he'll be given words of inspiration. He'll be given words of glorification and tasbih that have never been given to him before. He'll be inspired and he'll be making tasbih and glorification. Yes, under the throne. Oh, Allahu Akbar. And then it'll be told, Ya Muhammad, irfa' ra'sak. O Muhammad, raise your head. Ishfa' tushaffa'. Make intercession and you'll be granted permission. And then he'll begin to intercede for his ummah. May Allah make us among those who Rasulullah himself intercedes for. And that's al-shafa'a al-kubra, that the Prophet ﷺ will intercede for his ummah, for us. You know, every prophet came and they made a dua that was answered. But Rasulullah saved his dua. For who?
For his
ummah. For us. Allahu Akbar. He saved it for you and I. He saved his dua for us on the Day of Judgment, where he'll make dua to Allah to save us on that day. And look how much love Rasulullah has for his ummah. Allahu Akbar. And that's why he is no doubt the greatest messenger of Allah. He saved his dua for us. SubhanAllah. Ya Habibi Ya Rasulullah. Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We know that on the Day of Judgment, Rasulullah will have the kawthar, the hawd, the pond. And he will be giving Muslims to drink. So make dua that you are among those who drinks from the blessed hands of Rasulullah himself. So he's the gatherer on Judgment Day. Another name is Al-Muqaffi. Al-Muqaffi, Qaffa in Arabic, is like Khalafa. What's the Khalifa? What is the Khalifa? What's that mean? Khalifa. Yeah, the rule of the Khalifa is the caliphate. And it came from Khalifa because they يَخْلُفُ بَعْضُهُمْ بَعْضًا. They succeed one another. So that's what Qaffa means. Qaffa means Khalifa, to succeed. In other words, he is the successor. He is the successor. The successor who no one will succeed. Al-Muqaffi, the final successor. No one will succeed him. Is anyone going to succeed the Prophet? No, he's the final Prophet and Messenger. A person may say, what about Isa alayhi salam? Isn't he returning? Correct. He's not going to come as a new prophet and a new messenger. He's going to come as a follower of the Prophet Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he's not going to come as a successor of Rasulullah. He's going to come as a follower of Rasulullah. Therefore, when he descends, and Isa alayhi salam will descend عند المنارة البيضاء شرقي دمشق. Rasulullah told us exactly where he's going to descend, the exact place. عند المنارة البيضاء, near the white minaret, eastern white mirror in Damascus, present-day Syria. So all the fitna that's happening in Syria is a good thing. Allah is purifying it and getting it ready, inshallah, for Isa alayhi salam to come. And he didn't just tell us the place, location, and country of his descent. He even told us how he's going to look and what he's going to be wearing. And the color of his garments. SubhanAllah. Bayna mardudatain. He's going to come wearing two yellow garments. Two yellow garments. And his hand, وَاضِعًا كَفَّيْهِ عَلَى أَجْنِحَةِ مَلَكَيْنِ. He's going to be descending with his hands resting on two angels.
Oh,
imagine you're there, and this happened at Fajr time. So glad tidings to the brothers praying Fajr on that day, where they see Isa alayhi salam descend. How important is Fajr prayer? Imagine those brothers who that day say, oh, you know what, I'll miss Fajr today in the mosque. Imagine they would have missed out. So, yes, sister? Yes, it will be the time of Dajjal as well. By that time, Dajjal has already come out and the Mahdi has already come out. So he's going to come and Imam Mahdi is about to lead the prayer. So it is said to Isa alayhi salam, you lead, and he'll say no. And Imam Mahdi will lead Isa alayhi salam in the salah. He'll be praying like us exactly. Allah Azza wa Jal will teach him the Sharia of al-Islam in the heavens. So when he comes, he'll be applying the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So that doesn't contradict this hadith, because he's going to come as a follower of Rasulullah and not a successor of Rasulullah. Okay. One more and that's it. Al-Mahi. We're done. Al-Mahi. What's Maha mean?
Trace.
Good. Yeah, it can be used. That's Masaha though. Wiping is Masaha. But you're close in Arabic. Isa was called Al-Masih from Masaha. If someone was sick, he would merely wipe over them and they'll be cured. So the eraser, this is called a mimha from maha. So it's called al-mahi, the eraser of what? The eradicate, good, well done. The eraser of shirk, the eradicator of kufr. He is the only prophet in which kufr will be eradicated from the face of the planet. But you'll say, wait, no, it hasn't happened yet. That's right, it hasn't happened yet. This has not been fulfilled yet. It'll be fulfilled in the time of Isa. Kufr would be totally wiped away and erased from the face of the planet and will be following the Sharia of the Prophet Muhammad. May Allah Azza wa Jal make us among His true followers. Amen. Amen.